Dear family and friends, students, staff, and faculty, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the reading that Noah just read from Luke chapter 1. When students enter the specific ministry, pastor, or SMP program, on their first night of their orientation week, they participate in a unique and singularly impactful event. They know what I'm talking about. They share their stories of how the Lord brought them to this place. They hear engaging and inspiring, in almost every case, descriptions from one another, from guys who will soon go from being complete strangers to dear brothers in the Lord as part of their cohort. How anyone comes to the seminary is always an interesting narration of the Lord working in their lives. But with SMP students, the stories can be quite involved, because if you look around and notice them, as you can see, many of them have a lot of gray hair, or not a lot of hair at all. I won't say how much older they are than residential students, but it's decades on average. But it means they often have a lot of very interesting life experiences of how the Lord, and in a number of cases, how the Lord and they have been involved in, we might say, a tug of war for many years. In fact, there's a particular Old Testament prophet that gets referred to a lot that they identify with, and you might be able to guess who that is. He's a fellow whom the Lord was trying to call, but he kept running in the other direction for a long time. In fact, the Lord provided some interesting persuasive experiences for him, like being swallowed by a big fish, all those things to get his attention and set him on the right course for what the Lord wanted him to do. Well, we know, of course, who that prophet is, Jonah. But today we're going to recognize the divine call for a number of these men who have been called in a specific ministry, who are celebrating the completion of the SMP program, who are in their last class, whom I heard their Jonah stories years ago. But today in the church calendar, we have presented to us another prophet with whom to identify. That is John the Baptist. Today is the commemoration of the birth of John the Baptist. It is, after all, 6 months before the nativity of our Lord. Yeah, kids out there, it's only 6 months till Christmas. And like Jonah, John was called by God for this work. But unlike Jonah, he was on this course from the start. As today's reading indicates, he was born for it. He was given a calling and an assignment that was clearly God's will for his young life from the point of conception. Well, we could focus on distinctive aspects of John's life, because there are some. His unexpected birth announcement by an angel to barren parents, his amazing recognition of the Lord Jesus while still in the womb of his mother, his unusual living conditions, his strange diet and dress. Well, those are very unique and important aspects of his life. John had quite a story too, you know. Today, though, I want to focus instead on the basic fact that John, like Jonah, like these men, was called by God. That's it, was called by God. He had a divine calling. And what was John's vocation, his calling? In the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, he was a prophet. He was the last and greatest prophet, Jesus says. He came before Jesus to prepare the way for him. His work was predicted by another prophet centuries earlier, prophet Isaiah, who prophesied a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. So that was his job, his calling, his vocation, his work, to be a prophet who would prepare the way for the Savior. Now, whenever sinners do anything good, and we can relate to this because we're all sinners, behind it is the Lord calling us to that work. Luther had a name for our callings, our vocations. He described them as masks of God. Masks of God. You know, it looked like John the Baptist out there declaring Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It appeared to be John the Forerunner, as he is sometimes called by the ancient church, preparing the way of the Lord by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it was. But behind the man and his mission was the Lord. The Lord calling, equipping, and sending him to do the Lord's work. John was his instrument to prepare the way for Jesus' saving mission. And even with all the uniqueness of John's particular calling, he could simply say, as one of my old professors used to say of the ministry, "I only work here. I'm not in charge. I am called to this work by another, by my Savior and Lord. He runs the show." Today, it's important for you and me to say the same thing, to keep our focus on Jesus, to keep pointing to Him, not to ourselves by what we do, by how we act, to Him as the saving Lamb who was sacrificed for us, for the whole world, on the altar of the cross, who rose from the dead, showing that He paid for the sins of the entire world, your sins, my sins, to save all believers. It is important, therefore, as ministers, that we, on this commemoration of the Nativity of John the Baptist, join John in pointing out that he must increase, but I must decrease. That's to be our posture as we carry out the calling of the ministry. That is a good thing for the people that you are called to serve. You candidates, you pastors, similar to John, you are to prepare the way for the Lord coming to them through the preaching of the law for repentance. You are to announce to God's people that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, takes away their sins. You do this, to use the words of Zechariah, which we heard and will later sing, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, who described him and his work as in this way, "As you give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, as you proclaim the one who came to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Yes, this is your calling, focused on the promise of salvation, and it is good for your people that you have it. It's also good for you. The message of forgiveness that God points and puts in the mouth of prophets, pastors, and even members of the royal priesthood of all the baptized is also a message for you. A message for you to hear. The Lord also raises up servants of the word to give that promise to other servants of the word as well. You know, when life was pressing in hard on John the Baptist and he was being persecuted, I pray you don't get persecuted like him, but he was being persecuted for carrying out his calling. He struggled with doubts. He asked whether Jesus was really the Savior. And the Lord sent messengers to him to announce that Jesus was in fact fulfilling the messianic prophecies, to say that he is indeed the promised Savior, even John's Savior. Well, the Lord also sends messengers to you to announce the forgiveness of sins and salvation in Jesus. He sends His servants to bring the light of Christ into the darkness of your despair. And there are times of despair as pastors, like He does through your brothers, your spiritual brothers in the cohort, like He does in our congregations, in this chapel, and wherever God's people gather in Jesus' name. But pastors need to remember this. And let me say to you, pastors and would-be pastors out there, I can offer no better advice to a pastor than I can to your lay people to regularly receive the ministry of the holy absolution from a servant called to serve you with the forgiveness of sins. Maybe not called in a congregational setting specifically, but who God calls in the ministerium of His church. Find yourself as a penitent, as an earpiece, not just a mouthpiece for the Lord. Have as a habitual practice regularly receiving the forgiveness of sins from a pastor. And yes, also from Christian friends and family. I don't downplay that at all. I'm a big advocate for that. That's important. But just because you're a pastor, don't neglect the gift of the pastoral office for you too. Because once a person is called and ordained, your stories continue. The stories of Jesus working in our lives, that kind of tug of war continues as well. And yes, He works through you, but He is also working for you, as He did for John the Baptist. The last and greatest prophet needed that. So listen for Christ's promises for you and look forward to that day when those promises are fully fulfilled, when Christ returns, when He returns to usher in a new life where those crosses and hardships are no longer there at the resurrection and the commencement of life everlasting. Take that single thought to heart. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.